Good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for being with us. This has been great every time we do this. There are so many of you on the line. Every time we do this, our calls are getting bigger and bigger, and that's because people like you are passing on our emails and to family and friends, and we've been getting some really great feedback on this. So thank you once again for being on the call. This is Dr. Jerry Casista. I'm a chiropractor in Dracut, and we do these calls to help the community and share a little information. And tonight, we are very fortunate to have with us my wife, Dr. Lorraine Casista. Dr. Lorraine is a chiropractor also. She also has a degree in psychology, and right now she's a life coach. She wrote for the Merrimack Journal newspaper for many years, really fortunate to have her. As a life coach, one of the things she does is really helps people with exactly what we're talking about tonight, which is depression, anxiety, mood swings, stress, all these things people feel during the holidays. So, Dr. Lorraine, welcome to the call.
Thank you very much. Wonderful to be here.
Great. So we're going to start with something about stress. And, you know, people talk about stress management all the time. And, you know, who wants to manage stress? I mean, wouldn't it make more sense to do peace management? So for most of you on the line, a lot of people don't realize there are two kinds of stress. And one kind of stress is there's distress and eustress. Distress is what people think of as stress generally. When we think the word stress, people think of bad things happening. And bad things do happen when you're stressed. When you're emotionally stressed for whatever reason, your body starts making chemicals. Those chemicals in your body, cortisol, norepinephrine, those are things that they're negative chemicals for your body. They actually hurt your body in a number of ways. They make you more tired. You can gain weight with it. It makes you definitely anxiety, mood swings, depression. But also, from a physical standpoint, you don't digest like you should. You don't take the nutrients out of the food like you should. So other physical things happen along with that. Our emotions and what we think about something are so powerful that the chemistry of our tears when we cry, when we're sad, is different than the chemistry of our tears when we're laughing so hard we cry. That's how strong emotions are. So the best example I always give is if I'm running as fast as I possibly can, that's just an activity. I'm just running as fast as I possibly can. If in my head I'm running as fast as I possibly can because I'm in a race, that's eustress. That's a good positive stress. My body makes endorphins, and then you hear all the runners say they get their runner's high. They feel good because you make good chemicals in your body, and that's actually good for your body. On the other hand, if I'm running as fast as I possibly can because I'm being chased by muggers, now my body is making the bad stress chemicals, and bad things are happening inside my body. So our attitude about whatever's going on really determines the physical outcome inside of our body. So keeping that in mind, the difference between eustress and distress, what we'd like to talk about tonight are just some things people may not think about to turn distress into eustress. And that is something that my wife, Dr. Lorraine, is a black belt at. She's really good at helping to reposition and reframe things. So Dr. Lorraine, what are some of the things that people really have a problem with stress-wise during the holidays?
Well, I think one of the most important things to point out is that, you know, we all do experience stress, as you said, and it can be good stress or not so good stress. And all of these chemicals that are made in the body are chemicals that are necessary for the body, as you pointed out. And so in times of, you know, running from muggers, you want your body to react that way. But what happens in our culture today is we're so fast-paced, we're always moving and running from one thing to another. It's that our bodies maintain that level of stress, and that's what's destroying to us. Around the holidays in particular, a number of people may experience a higher level of anxiety because they're looking towards the holidays as one more thing they have to add to their to-do list. It also is a time when people experience depression and loneliness and a kind of anxiety about getting together with lots of people that they may not see on a regular basis, spending too much money, eating too much, not exercising, not sticking to the original plan that they had. All of these things can contribute to higher stress during the holidays.
They definitely do. So you know what? Some of those things are so important, and you really hit on some important items. I don't want to just pass those by. So let's take a look at some of those. And let's say you're somebody that you don't have a big family. And for you, you feel lonely. You feel like, geez, all the other people have these families. They have a place to go. And I don't really have anything. What can those people do?
Well, those people can, first of all, if they are connected to with a church, they can certainly get involved with church activities. And oftentimes when people know of other people that are not going to have family around for the holidays, they will get invited somewhere, so that's always a good thing. So if you do know of someone who doesn't have family around, or maybe they just don't even have any extended family, then maybe they were an only child and their parents died, and they don't have any children themselves, invite them over. We've certainly done that over the years with people that we know or knew that were going to be spending the holidays alone. They also could join groups. Meetup is a great place to go. You know, you and I were talking about that before, and we do mention it to patients and some of the talks that we do. It's a great place to go to be able to meet new people and maybe spend time with people of like interests who may not have friends and family in the area. So that is another option as well.
And let me just jump in a second. For those of you who don't know, if you go to Meetup, M-E-E-T-U-P, meetup.com, it's not a dating service. What Meetup is, it's a place to meet with people that have similar likes that you do. So you go to meetup.com, a page will come up that'll say skiing, snowboarding, knitting, poetry, and all these different categories. And you click on a category, and that's going to be people that are, if it's skiing, they'll say, we're going skiing this Thursday, 9 o'clock, come and meet us. And it's just people that like to ski together. So it's an opportunity to hang out with people that do what you like to do. So if you want to go out to dinner on Christmas, you look up Christmas dinner, and you click on that, and they're going to say, we're going to this restaurant, come and meet us. And we have seen that where there must have been, 30 people that were all there from Meetup, and nobody knew anybody, and they had just a great time. And it was so compelling, I went over and introduced myself just to find out what was going on. It was my first introduction to Meetup. And I said, what a great idea. You know, none of these people had anyone to do it, to go out with, and now all of a sudden they had 30 people to do it with. So great idea.
And there's thousands of Meetup groups to choose from.
There are.
Another idea, too, is if someone is spending the holidays alone, they could volunteer their time to go somewhere where people less fortunate than they are, and maybe serve at a soup kitchen or visit a hospital where patients may not be getting that many visitors, or a nursing home. That's always an option.
Yep.
As well.
Great idea. I know one of the biggest problems people have with the holidays is they just put themselves in debt for the whole year. You know, they just go overboard, and it's they feel they have to give so many things to so many people. The family's getting bigger, nephews are coming along, nieces, whatever. They just go so overboard, and in this type of economy, it's not always easy to do. And they stress the rest of the year paying for it. What can people do for that?
Well, the first thing I would recommend is ask yourself and discuss it with your family. What do the holidays mean to you, and how do you want to feel during the holidays? What is it that you are looking to accomplish, and how do you want to experience the holidays? So that, to me, is the most important thing, because when you look back, actually, I'll ask the callers on the call right now, when you look back at your childhood, your teen years, your early adult years, what is it that you remember about Christmas or any of the holidays that you celebrate? What is it that you remember? What sticks out in your mind that was the most pleasant experience? For most of us, it's not the gifts that we got. It's how we felt with the family. Something may stand out that was particularly poignant, that really touched us in a way that made us feel warm and loved and cared for. And those are the things that we tend to remember. It's the experience we tap into. That's what, you know, some of the Christmas movies are all about. They're all about what the experience of Christmas is. And so you need to think about, what is it that you want to experience? What do you want your family to experience? And what are you going to be able to say yes to and to say no to in order to create those experiences? What is it that you need to do and not do to ensure that you get the experience and that your children and rest of the family get the experience that you want to have?
So you're saying experience, providing some sort of an experience is generally more memorable than providing a gift, let's say.
Absolutely. You know, you want to start out by, you know, setting a budget for your finances, because putting yourself into debt for the rest of the year is not going to create a good experience. It's going to create a more stressful experience. So, you know, it's totally fine to be to set limits and boundaries, to discuss with your kids what you will be able to do and what you are going to have to eliminate if that's a matter this year. If you're struggling with finances, you certainly don't want to add to that. But it doesn't mean that your Christmas has to be not enjoyable. It can be one of the best Christmases, even if you don't have a lot of gifts to give. I think because we commercialize Christmas so much, we've kind of lost touch with, you know, what really needs to happen in order for us to really experience a good feeling. So getting together and, you know, maybe making some gifts or setting a dollar limit, getting together with the family to be able to do some decorating or having a, you know, wrapping presents, having the activities of Christmas become a family affair oftentimes can make the holidays even more enjoyable rather than leaving it all to one person. You know, oftentimes it's the mother or the woman of the family who ends up doing, you know, a lot of the running around and buying the gifts, wrapping the gifts, and doing all of that stuff. So learning how to maybe delegate some of those things to the people that can handle the chores, and learning how to say no to certain things that just, you know, won't fit into the schedule.
So when you delegate, this brings us to a different area. So just to wrap up the other, providing experience, I know when you and I were younger and we didn't live near our family, we were living in Iowa going to school, we didn't really know anybody, so we decided, let's go Christmas caroling. And I know we certainly remember that. That was an experience that's hard to forget. When you see the faces of people, we went to nursing homes, we went to different places. That's the kind of thing people can do with their families or neighbors, get some neighbors together and go caroling in the neighborhood or other neighborhoods. We found that to be really a lot of fun, something different to do. And,
yes, it made
not
our
expensive.
Christmas memorable there because, you know, the Christmases that we were not able to go home and other kids that were there with us, students that were there with us that didn't go home either, get together, you know, have a little something to eat, and then went out and did some caroling at nursing homes with people who, you know, wouldn't have had anybody visit them. That was a very rewarding thing to do. It was a good experience.
Yeah, and you're right. We remember experiences much better than a gift. What's the saying? People might forget your name, they might forget your face, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
Yes.
Feelings last a long time.
Yes.
Great. And then so the other point you brought up was saying no. Learn how to set limits. And this is probably one of the biggest stressors people have. They get invited someplace, they just really don't want to go. Just don't want to go. You know, it's like, no, gosh, I can't believe it. You know, I wish I hadn't met this person today. Now they invited me to this thing. And a lot of people have a hard time confronting that because the other people are trying to be nice. They're inviting them. But you don't want to go, or you have too much going on, and you just don't know how to say no. So generally people say, oh, you know, I think I'm going to be sick that night. Or, I mean, they make something up, and then they get caught in it because they caught later or something, and that's even more stressful. So what can people do when they get asked to go somewhere or do something that they don't want to do, give money? I mean, every time you turn around, you have to give money this time of year. How can people handle that in a graceful way, but being truthful, you know, and not have to worry about it afterwards?
Well, I think one of the first things to do is to be truthful as you can be without being rude, certainly. If the reason is that you just don't like the person or you don't like someone who's going to be in attendance, you certainly don't want to be rude and state that as the reason. But you do want to be as honest as you can. And I found that the best way to handle that would be to just say that, you know, thank you very much, and this isn't going to work for me this year. And if they ask you why, you don't have to go into details. So that's a big thing, is to know that you don't have to give 101 reasons as to why you can't attend or why you can't do something. You just say, it's, you know, my schedule is such that it's not going to work for me this year. Or I appreciate, and if someone says, oh, I'm really disappointed, you know, I really wanted you to come, you can say, well, you know, I do understand the disappointment, and this is what I need to do, or what we need to do for our family this year. And end with a thank you. You know, always end with a thank you. And most people will respect that. If they continue and pursue, just keep repeating. And instead of saying but, just say and. You know, I know you'll be getting together and you'll be having a wonderful time, and I hope that you do, and we will not be able to accept this year, and we do thank you for the offer.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds real good. That makes much more sense than lying about it, saying something else, and then worrying about getting caught later on, which
right.
just adds much more stress to the whole issue.
Right.
Very good. And then also you said making people accountable for helping. If you have a lot to do and people are coming over and you got to clean the house, you got to cook, you got to do everything, I know you've done that, actually, I've seen you do it in the past, where you did a great job orchestrating a potluck dinner where you actually say, okay, so Mary, you're going to be in charge of this, and George, you're going to be in charge of that. And then you let everybody else know, here's the list of what we're having, and here's the people bringing it. So if you're responsible for mashed potatoes and you don't bring them, we're just not having mashed potatoes.
Right.
You know, and it's Charlie's fault because he didn't bring them. You know what I mean? So how do you delegate that in a way that you get a commitment from people to make sure that the party isn't a bust?
Well, that's the key to delegating, because a lot of, you know, some people may be hesitant to delegate, particularly potluck, but some people may be resistant to delegating because, they want to get it all done themselves, because they're striving for perfection. And, you know, I certainly know that feeling as well. You know, I love to cook, as you know. And so for certain parties that I may have, I want to do all the work myself. And that's fine, as long as I know that, you know, I need to budget my time. And it's my choice to
mm-hmm.
do all of the work, because there are certain things that I want to make. And I want to present it in a certain fashion. But when you're running low on money and you're running low on time and you're running high on stress and you're running high on overwhelm and there's just a million things to do, it certainly is okay to delegate. And, you know, I would suggest, rather than telling people what to bring, I would ask them what would they like to bring, and then get a commitment from them, and making a list and then sending it out to everybody and letting them know that if you're, let's say you're having a big turkey dinner, and someone, mashed potatoes is a good example that I like to use, and someone says, well, I'll bring the mashed potatoes. Well, by letting everybody else know that, you know, Susie is in charge of the mashed potatoes, if Susie decides to change her mind at the last minute, which is the reason some people don't like to delegate, is because they're afraid they're going to be without the mashed potatoes. Well, everybody knows that if you back out of your commitment, then that item will not be provided. And that's okay. It's not going to ruin everything, but it makes it much easier. But then everybody will know that Susie didn't bring the mashed potatoes, and Susie decided to do something else at the last minute. But you know what? It'll go better the next year, because Susie will more than likely stick to her commitment the following year. But it just alleviates stress. It takes stress off of the person putting the party together. And it focuses more on just and being able to enjoy what's there.
And I think that's a good idea. So if she does not bring them, or not, just decides not to show up because she can't face the crowd because she didn't make them, it's like, you know what, you can laugh it off. This is great. You know, it's fine. We're having turkey without potatoes. That's all. That's as simple as that. Now, if everybody says, if you say, well, what would you like to bring, and everybody says salad, or everybody says potato chips,
right.
Then
now's when you have to step in, and you will certainly have to say, well,
so
you know,
say,
someone
George is
already bringing a salad,
mm-hmm.
so what else can you contribute?
Mm-hmm.
And
here's what
know,
we have left. Can
here's
you do
what
that?
We have left. And if mm-hmm. you do have a particular menu that you want to have, then certainly, you know, ask people what can, you know, who wants to bring, you know, can you bring the squash? Can you bring the, you know, whatever? And that's a good way to do it. So
good.
You can do it by a process of elimination for, you know, okay, well, this is what we have left. You know, you're in charge of the dessert, a healthy dessert.
Yeah, that's right.
So
well, that's very helpful. And I've certainly seen you do that with great success, and it usually turns out really well. And I've definitely seen that firsthand. That's a really great idea. Now, let me ask you another question, a different area. some people are used to giving gifts at a certain level. You know, they're used to spending a certain amount of money on a person or buying multiple gifts for certain people. And now the family's growing. There are more nephews and nieces or brothers and sisters or husbands and wives, whatever. Family's growing. Things are starting to get a little out of control. Budget's a little tighter because of the economy. What's a graceful way to downsize a gift? To still feel good about it, because a lot of people, if they downsize, they don't feel as good giving the gift. They feel like, you know, geez, I used to give this, now this is all I can do. You know, what are suggestions for that? And although you did hit on that in the beginning, by kind of changing the direction of the gift and providing the experience, that might be the best answer. What do you think?
Yes, that's a great question. And a lot of families do struggle with this, because as the families get bigger and you get extended family and more in-laws and you know, it can get pretty wild and expensive, and just a lot of people to have to deal with. So one suggestion that I would have is to discuss with family members, you know, first of all, deciding if you do want to exchange gifts. If you're up to 50, 60 people, even 30 people that you have to buy gifts for, you may want to, you know, look at how you're doing that. Maybe you can agree to do a Yankee swap instead, or maybe you can agree to pick a name out of a hat, so that you're all just responsible for one gift instead of, you know, 30 gifts. Or you can choose to eliminate gifts completely and not do gifts at all, or put a dollar limit amount on the gifts. You know, it really is a matter of learning how to give and receive. Because giving and receiving is a very they're interconnected. So when you are stressing about how much money you're going to spend on someone, and then stressing about what they've given you in return, if they, let's say you spent you know, $20 on a gift for someone, and they give you a gift that looks like it probably cost them $100, well, there's a big discrepancy there, and for a lot of people that makes them feel embarrassed, like, well, gee, I should have given more, and, you know, now I'm embarrassed because my gift looks cheap, and you get into all of that stuff that can really make the holidays not so enjoyable. So you want to be able to lay down some ground rules that will help ease the Christmas or other holiday, whatever holiday you're celebrating, and make it so that it's a more even and fair exchange. You need to learn how to receive as well as how to give, and be open to the changes that need to be made to accommodate other people. You know, some people in your family may not be in the same situation as you are to be able to give gifts. And, you know, as much as they may want to spend a lot of money on each person, they may not be able to. And even though you may feel okay with that and say, well, I don't expect them to give me an expensive gift, they may not feel comfortable receiving an expensive gift. And we need to honor that, because it's taking away from their feelings of self-worth when we give them something that's way out of their budget and they can't reciprocate. And that all has to do with that energy exchange of receiving and giving. And I'd say that that's also a big contributor to stress. And people worry about, well, you know, I spent a lot of money on this one gift for this one person, or even if it's for their own children. And then they may have spent the same amount of money on multiple gifts, but there's a bunch of smaller gifts. So now you have to worry about, well, this child only has one gift to open, and this child has 10 gifts to open, you know. So you need to find a balance and what works best for you.
So it sounds like it all starts with clear communication.
Absolutely.
I mean, deciding what you want, and then just be clear about the communication before the event, so you don't get stuck, you know, like you said, with a real disproportionate thing and then somebody doesn't feel right.
Absolutely.
About it.
You know, and as families get larger,
and older,
family traditions,
kids get older,
and then friends come in, and, you know, and then they get married, and then they have children, and the family just gets larger and larger. And when that happens, traditions sometimes need to change, and that's okay. You know, you want to start family traditions with your family that you can incorporate to allow your family to have the experiences that they want to experience and that you want them to experience. And some of it may mean cutting back on the larger experience on a whole. So you may want to downgrade some of that in order to accommodate. And, you know, having a willing spirit to accommodate other people's needs in the family when the family is getting larger and larger is a gift in itself. Because if everybody's circumstances become more challenging as more and more people come into the mix. And so being a willing spirit and saying, you know what, I'm willing let's be willing to change how we experience Christmas. And maybe we can all come on the same page as to how this can work for all of us.
It makes total sense. And the bottom line is simplify, you know, just
absolutely.
Simplify. It's just, that's how you get rid of stress. Just simplify, make it more simple. Don't make it more than it should be. But there's a point, we're sadly going to be running out of time soon, but there's a real big point that I think is a real concern for people. What about if you have differences in the family? It's just somebody you just don't get along with for whatever reason. You really dread seeing that person again. What do you do? When you go home to that, or for someone that only comes home once a year for the holidays, and this has been going on for years, how do you deal with that?
Well, that's another thing, too, that happens in families is that oftentimes, you know, we have family dynamics to think about, and what happens is the family gatherings expose family patterns. So if you experience stress when you get together with your family, you need to identify the role you've been playing. So if you were the baby of the family or you were the perfectionist or you were the good child or the black sheep, even though you may have moved on and maybe you don't even see your family that much during the year, but you only see them at this one time of the year, even though you function differently in your life, when you come back and join this family, this extended family again, we tend to take on the roles that we had when we were younger. And that's because we get triggered, and other people's expectations of us may not change because they don't see us, so they put us back or they have the same expectations that they had of us before. And this is something that can definitely cause stress. And this is why sometimes, you know, family gatherings can have, you know, arguments, or someone will drink too much, or someone will be, you know, maybe outspoken and cause an argument. And oftentimes it's because of these triggers. So what you need to remember for yourself is you are not that same person. You're not that same 5-year-old, 10-year-old, 15-year-old, 20-year-old that went to family events. You are now more mature. You've gained your own experiences. Hopefully you've grown. And it doesn't mean you need to respond in the same way. So you need to find ways to reframe the experience of getting together with your family and moving outside of that role that you were given or you were that you played when you were younger. And if someone does try to trigger you into that role, just be aware of it and kindly step back from it and don't engage in that. And basically, that really involves that requires a little bit more work because you need to be aware of what those triggers are, and you need to be able to allow yourself to let it go, to recognize the trigger when it's happening, and know that it may not necessarily be, like, let's say you spilled wine on the rug or something, and someone
sometimes
reacts to
that.
Sometimes
it's just seeing the person. You know, like every time I see Uncle Charlie, we get into a fight about politics. Every time I see, you know, this guy drinks too much, and when he drinks too much, he starts, you know, picking on my wife and, you know, whatever it is. So is there a way to proactively beat that? Is there?
Well, the way to do it is to reframe it in your mind ahead of time, that you're going to try to recognize the triggers and then not respond to them in the usual ways that you do. You need to respond to them in a different way.
So just be prepared.
Be prepared and respond to them in a way that's not going to make you react, but rather respond in a manner that can put an end to the situation. When you react, you're coming from an emotional place that was triggered. So oftentimes that's what's going to create the argument. So if you're aware of that and you're aware of your body when that happens, you can have more control over the outcome.
That's great advice, and that changes your position with the family when they see, oh, wow, he's not reacting the same way. She's not doing the same thing. Now they see that you have changed, you have grown, matured, and maybe the whole activity will stop.
Absolutely,
you know,
because, you know, people want you to be the same. You know,
well, they expect
that's how
you to
it
be
goes.
The same.
They expect you to be the same, and oftentimes they want you to be the same. Even though they say they want you to change because that's how they've dealt with you, so maybe you could be the one they pick on, and, you know, some people kind of like that, so they don't really want you to change, you know. So those are the things to keep in mind, and don't let yourself get triggered, and recognize when you do and respond differently.
Excellent. Great points, and I would feel terrible if I didn't put this in, that don't let the holidays be an excuse to stop working out, to stop eating the way you should. I mean, there's nothing wrong with eating something a little different every now and then, but just don't let it be like, well, I'm just going to pick out because I'll start again in January. You know, you don't have to go too far over the cliff for that. Allow yourself some leeway, enjoy yourself, but try to keep yourself fit, keep working out, because that does create good chemicals in your body. You do see things differently when you have good chemicals running in your body. And it's just an important point, because a lot of people will say, well, I got to go shop, so I can't go to the gym. I have to do this. I can't go to the gym.
It all comes down to planning.
Yes.
It comes down to planning, because, for instance, when you mentioned shopping, Jerry, when people go shopping, a lot of times it's like a day-long excursion. So they don't plan ahead. They don't bring things to eat with them. They don't bring a pack of lunch. They don't bring snacks. And they get hungry. And then what happens when you're hungry and you're out? You kind of grab whatever's there. You may not make the best choices because you're hungry. It's like going to the food store and food shopping when you're hungry. You buy way more food than you intended to buy or that you even wanted or needed. Prepare a little bit. You know, bring some healthy things with you to eat, at least things that you can snack on so that you can make a healthier choice if you do go out to eat, because you're not going to be, you know, really that hungry that you are just grab at whatever's available.
Sounds great. Sounds great. Well, Dr. Lorraine, I appreciate everything that you've offered for us and for our listeners. And this was content rich. You had some really great ideas and thoughts. And I personally very much appreciate you being on the call. And hopefully the listeners do too. So we want to wrap this up. If you have some quick notes, just as a quick wrap up for everyone listening, then we're going to have to call it a day.
Well, some things to remember that I'd like people to take away today is to focus on how you want to feel for the holidays and what you need to do and not do to create that feeling. So start with the end in mind. Learn how to delegate, and that can be not just for cooking, but if it can be for house cleaning, it can be for helping with wrapping gifts, it can be for the shopping, hand out lists and each tackle a job that needs to get done. And remember to stay within your budget, and that can be your food budget as well. And I mean food budget, I mean choices you do in eating, as well as your exercise budget and your financial budget. Learn how to say no to things that you really do not want to have in your life, and do so graciously, but learn how to say no. And the last and most important thing, I think, is to be realistic. It's our expectations about the holidays that allow us to get disappointed, because we oftentimes want them to be perfect. And when they fall short of what our expectations were for perfection, it's what leads us to be disappointed. So focus on the experience. Bring a lot more into gathering your family and friends for the purpose of having a good time together and sharing those times and whatever gifts you do plan to share. And realize that, you know, nothing is perfect, and things will work out better in the end if you're pliable with those expectations.
That's excellent. That sounds perfect. And so for everyone on the line, thank you so much for being on the line, and hope you have an amazing holiday. And to my wife, Dr. Lorraine, thank you so much for helping us out.
Thank you very much for having me on the call, and I wish everyone a Merry Christmas and great holidays.
Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.